It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Radio Show. And I have with me today Caroline Zinnober. Am I saying it correctly, Caroline?
Zinnober.
Okay, I'm going to get that messed up, I guess, every time. But we're going to be talking about wellness plans, which is a proactive approach to health. And before we begin this conversation, I want to remind everybody that you can go to my website, which is synergyconnectionradio.com. And there are 10 pages as we speak. It's going up on number 11. And I have my 100th show coming up in the not too distant future. So these last 2 years have gone by very, very quickly. If you go to the website, you're going to see a company there by the name of Boomers. And Boomers has nutritional products. And I encourage everybody to go in there because in the midst of all of the COVID-19 issues that we have, it behooves each and every one of us to do our part in staying healthy. We can't wait for a vaccine. I know Carolyn would agree with that. We have to figure it out on how to keep our immune systems high and our inflammation levels low. So you can certainly check that out. You can subscribe to their free newsletter. And, you know, that would be a place to begin learning about getting healthy. And Caroline's going to help us do that too today. So she is a mind-body practitioner of 25 years. So she started when she was 5, right?
Close, very close.
And she focuses in Chinese herbs. And she has a brick-and-mortar store. So I want you to share with people how they can find you if they're in the St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay, Pinellas County, or surrounding counties listening to the show. How can they go find you?
Well, they can come to my location. I'm fortunate enough to have a brick and mortar. I'm at 607 First Avenue Southwest in Largo, which is just about a block south of West Bay and downtown Largo. They can go to my website, sixoakswellness.com. They can call me at 727-501-1700. So there's many ways to find me, but I would love to actually see you in person. Because that's the best way, I think, to correspond with people.
If somebody, picks this up, because I have people in various states that listen to the show. So if somebody were to pick this up, as a listening show podcast situation, and they hear something from your information, and they can't be there in person, can you communicate with them through Zoom or something so that you can see their faces and you can get a better idea of what their issues are as a person?
I can do that. And that's something that I'm going to be thinking about because I've been in this area for so long, I have quite a few clients that are just right here in the area that even though they've moved away, I still talk to them through the phone and I've got files on them. I like to keep files on clients just so that I can keep track of their health. And I typically do tongue and pulse diagnosis, and it's a little hard to do that when they're on Zoom.
Sure.
So I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm still trying to work that out. But, you know, I call it a wellness apothecary because to me an apothecary is something that's a local, someone that can get to me that's local.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of what my business model is. Let's just stay local to the people around me. I think I can do a better job with just the people that are here.
Right.
But, you know, with these times, Lucy, I'm going to have to figure on doing some Zoom events anyway, because my actual clients, some of them don't want to come in.
Right.
So yes, I am looking into the Zoom aspect, and now I have to get a camera on my computer.
Well, that's an easy, you know, part of it. It once you've done it a few times, it's not all that difficult, you know, to do. So the camera is the least of your concerns. But I don't, you know, I'm not sure the pulse and the tongue part, that's going to be, and you can't do a pulse. But I think seeing somebody's face probably would tell you quite a bit about their overall condition, I would think.
Yes, you can definitely see a lot about complexion, the eyes, the color of their, you know, skin. There's a lot you can see. But in my opinion, the more information, obviously, the better you can help someone.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's just do a little pretend here. Let's pretend that I am a brand new client. And I have found out about you and your store. And so I have an appointment and I come in and I'm sure, you know, everybody's doing the safe distancing. So to some degree, you have to do that. But once I get there, walk me through what actually happens. How do you develop these wellness plans?
Well, I usually do about an hour to an hour and a half intake. So I would have a form for them to fill out. It's about six pages. It's not, you know, something quick and simple. Yeah. So they're filling this out. And if they've had any recent blood work, believe it or not, I want them to bring that in, because while they're filling that out, I can look at things that they're maybe taking already medication-wise, because herbs and drugs don't always get along together. I'm going to need to know that ahead of time.
Right.
And while you're filling out this intake, Lucy, I'm going to be watching you. I'm going to watch how you sit. I'm going to watch how you write. Are you right-handed? Are you left-handed? You cross your legs. I want to see how you even react to just by body language. So yeah. I'm very observant from the time you walk in through the entire process, because I see one client at a time. I always have, and now with COVID, it makes even a better excuse. But I need to focus on you the entire time.
So do you watch them, like how they walk, for instance?
How they walk. I have a lot of windows in my front building with a wheelchair ramp that they usually walk up. I watch them get out of the car. I watch how they walk, you know, what their gait looks like. I just want to absorb as much as I can to get the, you know, to just to get a sense and just to get myself immersed in you so that we can delve into things almost immediately.
Okay, so I have now filled out the six pages and I've handed it to you, and you find out, and I'm just going to take some very common situations here. You find out that maybe I'm on blood pressure medication, or maybe you find out that I have a combination of blood pressure and pre-diabetic conditions. So how would you begin to work with me at that point, since this is, you know, hypothetical?
Well, basically, if you're on medication for blood pressure, you wouldn't be coming to me for that. So it's good to know that you have blood pressure issues and you're on medication, but usually you would come in with maybe a symptom or some side effect of a medication or something totally different.
Okay.
Now, so I don't go with the disease. I go with the overall pattern of their problem. So they may come to me and say, you know, I can't sleep. So maybe the blood pressure medication might have something to do with the fact that they're not sleeping, but I need to know more than just the fact that they're on blood pressure.
What if I'm a guy, you know, because I'm very much aware that a lot of blood pressure medications will make men impotent. So what if I'm a guy on blood pressure and my symptom is I can no longer have a sex life? Can you work with that?
Yeah, we have herbs for that. And we have herbs that work well with, even if they're on blood pressure medication. And sometimes they just don't want to take Cialis or the other, or Viagra, whatever the other medications are, and they want to do something more herbal. We've got things for that. We sit and talk about it. I want to know, you know, how long they've had high blood pressure. Is there something, you know, maybe we can change in their diet that could help that a little bit? I mean, there's a lot of things that we talk about with ED, and it's pretty common. It's a lot of my clients, not a lot, but I have that quite frequently. And now there's not just one herb that I pull off the shelf for everybody. We have to talk about it. There's a combination of herbs. There's different things that we can use. And I don't treat everybody, oh, they have ED. Here's the herb for ED. I don't do that.
Right.
Because I still have to look at their patterns and their constitution and treat the body as a whole, because they may have a whole different, you know, they may present as hot all the time, or they may be phlegmy, or they might be dry. I need to know those things, because every herb has an energetic pattern. So if they're hot all the time, maybe I have an herb that would work, but if it's a hot herb or a herb that makes the body warmer, I can't suggest that herb because they're already hot.
Right, right. That would be very, very true. And, you know, I think you can have women as well as men with low libidos, and it could be stress related, certainly. And you might be treating that as well. You know,
You typically want to try, you know, you kind of want to delve a little deeper, like, well, how long has this been going on? Or is stress a factor in it? And then you work with stress, and, you know, you always go out with the whole idea of the hopeful aspect of it. Like, this is common, and let's just start working with it. And, you know, what works for one doesn't work for the next, but let's give it a try. It's not a drug, so if it's not working, you can stop it immediately and start something different and not have to worry about weaning off of it or anything like that. That's what I like about the herbal aspect.
So let's kind of look again at, you know, if I had one of those two conditions or both of them, what would be the next part of the wellness plan? So, you know, you've talked to me a little bit, you find out that I do have a fair amount of stress in my life. Maybe, you know, in today's world, maybe it's linked to my job because of the situation with COVID-19. Maybe it's, you know, because I'm spending way too much time at home with my family and I don't have other support systems in place. So kind of walk me around those areas.
So we'd get to the root. Hopefully we can get to some root of that. When did it start? That type of thing. I'd also like to ask if there's been any trauma in their, even in their life. Sometimes things get triggered from a trauma that happened at 7 years old. People don't sometimes get that connection. And in Chinese medicine, we go back to birth. Sometimes, how was your birth? And we may go back that far. Because now with COVID, things get triggered that is, yes, COVID related, but is it related to some other trauma? So I do like to touch on a trauma type a conversation for a little bit, just to see if there's any talk of that. And, you know, as far as trauma, it could be all kinds of things, and it could be shameful and embarrassing. And so that's why I like to read their body language in the beginning, because if they start to change their body language, I know I'm onto something.
Okay. So give me a little more insight, because people are listening. So I want them to have a visual. So what might you notice?
They don't look at me. They'll look down. That could be shame. That could be something like maybe they were raped as a child. Maybe something happened to them in that respect. Maybe, you know, I don't know. It could be a million things. So you have to try and get into it. And they may or may not be ready for that. But you at least can take note on your, and when I'm taking notes, I may take a note saying trauma, you know, delve deeper when you think it's appropriate, because not everybody's going to open up to you.
Right.
You know, so you want to gain their trust, but you do also want to know how deep do we have to go here? And so I'll work on that a little bit. And then I'll say something like, well, where do you find joy? I might just switch it right away and just say, where do you find your joy? What gives you joy? And it makes them, I stop and I just let them think and think about it, because it's an interesting question that not too many people ask.
Right.
So it's like, I don't really know what gives me joy. Well, let's talk about that. You know, when you were in high school, what did you do? Did you do, you know, track and field? You know, I try and ask as many questions as I can. And then we start to have a conversation, because just like you and I, as we start to talk, it starts to weave into different places and different directions. And then they feel comfortable. And all of a sudden the trauma now is told. It can come out because they feel comfortable with me, or they feel like, I think I can trust this person. And the more, like I said, the more I can find out about them, because there are herbs for trauma that I would maybe start with. And then we work backwards, like peeling the onion.
Mm-hmm. To get to the core.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Because the whole idea behind holistic is the root.
Right.
The root problem. And maybe the root problem was the trauma at age 5.
And they've been covering it and covering it and covering it all these years.
Correct. And then there could be some drug abuse along the way. So everybody thinks it's the drugs, but what, you know, where did the pain really start? Where did it really, really start? And a lot of people don't even remember. So, you know, like I may refer them to a hypnotherapist or something that I think it goes deeper than I can get. And, you know, you may need to go somewhere else to really get to where you it started, because we can only work from there out.
What is the earliest trauma that you sort of uncovered as somebody comes in, you know, with a health issue where they want an alternative way of treating it? So what's the earliest one that you've seen?
Well, it's just interesting you should ask me that. I had a client, a male, 29 years old, kind of suicidal into drugs, you know, couldn't quite figure out what it could be, because he, and in the exterior of it all, he just seemed like such a great kid. And one day he came in and said his mother had driven him here. And I went, oh, I need to talk to her. So I left him in my room and I went and talked to her and I said, how was his birth? And she said he had the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck and he came out dying. You know, he was dying. It was blue.
Wow.
So that was the earliest, because once I found that out, I totally treated him for trauma, because he had issues with his parents and he thought they were trying to always get him, you know, so he thought his mother was trying to kill him. And as an infant, as a newborn, he doesn't have the words. He just had the feeling. So once
he was strangled, yeah.
That's right. He was being strangled. So once that came into light, it made a whole difference to him and to all of us, even to his mother. Huh. And since then, if I find a client that has some serious issues, I'll ask about the birth. And believe it or not, although this is anecdotal, every time, when it's that extreme, they had the umbilical cord wrapped around the neck at birth.
How about a breech birth? Have you ever run across that?
Well, not really. I haven't, because usually they can be turned and, you know, I haven't had one, but I know that would be the earliest for me. So it was from birth. It was a trauma from birth, actual birth. So I don't ever, you know, I go back as far as I can go back.
Right, right.
But see, he wouldn't have known, because I don't think a mother would have told her son, you know, she probably didn't think much of it. He lived, he was survived. Why tell your son how he was born? You know, so he wouldn't have known, because she never told him.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I asked him, how was your birth? He'd probably say, well, I don't know, it's probably fine, you know, but I asked his mother and I was just glad she brought him in that day, or I would have never known.
You know, I mean, sometimes the serendipitous events unfold.
That was like a gift. I mean, to me, that was like, I mean, if I did anything right that day, that was it.
Wow.
So ask that question.
The training that you have in Chinese herbs, let's talk about that a little bit too.
Well, it was I took a 2-year course in Chinese herbal medicine. And, you know, I had to have, you know, clinical hours. I worked with a Chinese herbalist, acupuncturist. I worked in his herbal apothecary. I made, you know, herbal formulas that they gave me recipes for different things. So I worked there for 2 years for free. I volunteered my time and I just immersed myself in it. And I had to learn, you know, not that I know Chinese, but I do know names of Chinese herbs. That's about as close as I got.
Right.
But it's a very interesting aspect of herbal medicine. You know, it's done through patterns and, you know, hot, cold, damp, that type of thing, constitution, tongue, pulse diagnosis. The intake in the Chinese realm is called an interrogation. That's what it's called.
Huh.
Because you are interrogating these people. And I don't like to use that word because it doesn't have very positive connotations now, but that is what they call it. So
now, have you been to China?
I have not been to China, and I would love to go to China. That was, you know, I've been to Malaysia. I've been to some of the Asian countries. I just have not been into China. And now that it's kind of not a great place to be going right now, Right. It may be a few years before I get there, but I always said I would love to go to China. And I was going to go with this herbal group. And, you know, so I thought, oh, let me wait a year. Well, that year it just all blew up. So I don't even know if I'll be able to ever go, but it's on my bucket list, Lucy.
Yeah. I was able to go years ago, right after Tiananmen Square.
Oh my.
And my husband did a lot of work in China, so he made 7 or 8 trips there. But he was already over there. He'd been there for a couple weeks, and I flew into Beijing. And that was, you know, quite a number of years ago now. So they had light bulbs that were right down the middle of the airport, and they had people with guns as we were getting our luggage. And of course, he could not come into the airport. I fortunately had flown with other businessmen who helped me with getting my luggage off the, you know, the luggage machine, and, you know, went out. But we had a wonderful, wonderful guide for the 10 days that I was there. So we got to go to some amazing places. And right at the very last day, you know, we were going to be flying into Tokyo from Beijing, but I had come down with, I think, just basically a cold, and ended up going to like a Chinese apothecary.
And it was very
so
nice.
Interesting because it was this dusty, you know, kind of small place with all of these jars with just things in them. And so the guide knew what to ask for. And she was able to get me some Chinese herbs, which I took. And within 24 hours, I was fine. I have no idea what I took, but I was.
You probably don't want to know.
Probably not. I mean, it didn't smell real good, but, and that was before they had bathrooms. Like you would go to the bathroom, and there were places on the floor that were like foot places. And so you basically went to the toilet over a hole that was in the floor. Yeah. So, you know, today's China is so different than the China that I saw years ago. We had a dinner that was fascinating because it had 30 different courses. And all you did was you would take a bite of something. And they had it on a Lazy Susan. And there was probably 20 people around this Lazy Susan because it was a farewell dinner. And the chairman of this company sat next to me, and she did speak English. Nobody else did. So we had these little shot glasses of what they called white Chinese lightning, which was probably 150 proof, I'm guessing.
Sure.
And one of the unique things about redheads is that I don't assimilate. The higher the proof, the more I can drink it like I would a Coke. The lower the proof, which is why I have to have 50% more anesthesia if I have surgery of any kind. They have to give me that much more. So that's something that doctors know about redheads. But, of course, the Chinese didn't know that. And they were toasting me, and they thought it was really funny that I could keep up with them. So they would kampai, Ms. Lucy, and, you know, we would have a shot. But the gal who was the chairperson of this company would translate whatever it was that came out of the kitchen. And towards the end of the evening, this big platter came out and it was sizzling. And everybody was so excited. And of course, I'm an animal lover. And, you know, I would say, and what is this? And she said, cat. And I went, meow, meow, you know, because I couldn't believe it. And she was, you know, big smile. Yes, yes. And I thought, there is no way. I mean, there's no way.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
But it was a fascinating trip. It's the only time I went to China. And I know, you know, it is so tremendously differently now.
If I can go, if there's a time I can go, I will go. But at this time, you know, it's,
yeah, probably not.
I'll just be fine right here in good old USA.
Right. I would think so. So some of the herbs that you use, let's talk about ones that are, you know, fairly commonly given, and what those kind of herbs might do.
Well, I mean, let's just talk about right now. I'm kind of doing more of the immune boosting type herbs that people can drink on a daily basis just to keep their immune system high, just to help, you know, COVID, no COVID type of thing. So you know, it's elderberries, there's maitake mushrooms, there's reishi mushrooms, there's skullcap, astragalus is good, codenopsis, there's ashwagandha, which is an adaptogen. Those things I sell a lot of. They can make a tea out of them. I can make a little four or five of those herbs put together, and they can make it into a tea. I can powder them, put it into a capsule if they want to just take a capsule. Some people don't want to. That's another thing I ask. Do you cook? Do you want to cook these herbs? Do you want to just pop a capsule in your mouth? What would you like to do? What's best is to drink the herb, is to drink the liquid. But if they can't cook, they don't want to cook, they don't want to boil water, they don't know how to boil water, then a capsule is better than nothing. So
why is it better to drink it?
Well, first of all, it's usually, you know, you get the medicine in the mouth, the mucosal area, down the esophagus. It starts to present itself as medicine right away as soon as you get it into the body. Instead of having a capsule go down into the stomach, it has to then dissolve in the stomach, and then it goes places from there. I like to have them drink it. I like to have them make it, because I think they become more proactive in their wellness if they have to measure, maybe, you know, heat a little water up and then let it simmer for 20 minutes. You know, let's get involved. You came to me. You want to get better. This is kind of like a process. It just takes time to do this stuff. So if you're just popping pills, I don't want you to think it's Western medicine and this is just going to hurry up and fix stuff. So if you're looking at it, you know, I want them to look at it like this is how you're going to live your life. You're going to, you know, have some teas, some, you know, brown looking tea, may not taste great, but I tell them they can put honey in it. They can put some ginger slices in it, whatever they think that would make it taste a little bit better. But it's medicine, kind of. Just drink it. Drink the medicine and see. Results will usually be quicker with a liquid than it would be with a capsule or a pill, because it just works faster, Lucy. So I said, look, do you want to feel better in a week or do you want to feel better in 30 days? You tell me. I mean, how bad do you feel? So it's kind of like, well, I want to feel better in a week. I says, good. Then you're going to have to cook it. Then you're going to have to drink it. Uh-huh. And then I have a whole sheet plan of how to cook an herb. I make it as clear as possible, and I go over it with them, and I, you know, tell them how many cups, how to do it, how long to simmer it, how to strain it, how to drink it, how to, you know, drink it warm, drink it hot, you know, whatever. I go through everything with them. And not too many people do that. I mean, I try and, you know, if I could make it for them, I would. I said, look, I can't follow you home, but I'll do as much as I can while you're here. So, right. You know, ask me any question. There's, you know, people don't know. So I'm here to answer their questions.
So what about, you know, I'm thinking, like, I used to make iced tea all the time, and I would keep it, I would brew like a quart of it or 2 quarts of it. Can they do that? Can they brew what they need couple of days?
Yeah. My theory is I give them enough. Well, here's what I'll do. If they say I can cook it, I'll cook it. I usually give enough for 10 days because in 10 days we know if we're on the right track with my formula.
Right.
And I give them 5 bags. Each bag is good for 2 days of drinking the tea. So they will make enough for 2 days supply. All right. So they'll have 5 bags. Because I don't want them to have that sit in that refrigerator for 10 days because I want it to be fresh.
Right.
Plus, I want them to do something every 2 days. I want them to think about their health every 2 days while they're cooking the herbs. And if it's Chinese herbs, it's usually bark, roots, you know, it's a little bit harder. It's not like a tea leaf, you know. So you might have to cook this for 45 minutes. So, there's a commitment here. Now, if I have some really strong herbs that take an hour to cook, I'll tell them to get a small crock pot, put it in the night before, and then have it cook through the night in a crock pot, and the next morning they can start to drink it. You can do that.
Mm.
But it's only for 2 days. It's only going to be a 2-day supply. And then the next bag comes out, and then they pour the contents into their crock pot or into their pot and start all over again.
So what about a person, I heard you say reishi mushrooms, and I know that's good for like breast cancer or maybe any kind of cancer. I've seen it in health food stores, but how do you do yours? Is it a powder?
No, these are actual herbs. Those will be a sliced mushroom.
Okay.
Rishis are pretty large, so it'd be a slice of mushroom that I can snap in half. It's fairly easy to snap in half. I go by weight. I take all my herbs and I weigh them out, so it's done by weight, so I can duplicate it. That's why I have to keep a chart on everybody. So it's done by weight. Now, if someone wants me to put it in a capsule, I have a pulverizer here that I have imported from China, and I can powder all of that into a fine powder, and then I actually put them into capsules. I make capsules for them.
What do you find is, since you've already said that cooking is the quicker way to feel better, what do you find most people opt for?
Capsules.
Capsules. Okay. So they're so used to indoctrinated in the traditional way of taking medication.
Yeah. So if I have a new client, I will be brewing a pot of nice herbal tea here with some, I usually like to either use butterfly pea or maybe hibiscus. So it's a pretty color. I always think color has a lot to do with people's, you know, way they think something tastes. Uh-huh. And I'll serve tea while we're talking. And I'll say, well, did you like that tea? Oh yeah, I love this tea. I said, well, you can make that. So I let them know that, you know, this is something you can do. We just did this right here. And so sometimes I can convince them to drink the tea, but I would say 60% want capsules and 40% will cook the herbs. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get them to all cook it. But you know, we start from where they're at. If they're not ready, I don't push it.
Right.
But I do at least have them drink tea with me. I tell them what's in it. You know, there's not a tea leaf. It's all herbs. Oh, this tastes wonderful. I says, yeah, it tastes great. And it's usually a calming tea because they're in here talking to me. So I want to make sure that there's, you know, I'll put some nettles in there and, you know, some, I always just make it off the top of my head. I just kind of figure when I see them, I kind of think, what would they like? I'll maybe put some peppermint in there or something like that, that it's just real flavorful.
Mm-hmm.
They are always impressed with how something tastes. And I go, well, you know, it may not taste this good, but it's good for you. So just like any kind of medicine that you get from a doctor, usually doesn't taste good.
Well,
but you take it, you know.
The sad part for me is so many of the medications that are prescribed have 20 side effects you don't want.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another thing. I said, you're not going to get a bad side effect. Now, you know, you probably know if you're allergic to an herb, but you might not. I mean, this is why I make a bag, those 5 bags, because what if you're allergic to something and just don't bother with the rest of it, bring it all back. I've never had anybody say, I can't drink this. You know, they may say it didn't taste great, mm-hmm. but I've never had anybody ever say it made me feel worse. So knock on wood.
Yeah. Well, let's kind of go down a road that says, you know, the person agrees that they are willing to cook. And so you create your 10-day supply. Every 2 days they make whatever they're going to make. When you meet with them, do you meet with them again at the end of the 10 days?
Yes. Then when they come to pick up, usually it takes me 2 or 3 days to develop this formula. It's not like willy-nilly. I have to sit down and really think this through, pull out my books, start to, you know, figure out some patterns. So I'll tell them, I'll say in a couple of days, it'll be ready. I'll text you. They come back in, they pick up, and then right that day we make another appointment for 10 to 12 days, depending upon their schedule, to come in, and then we're going to talk about how do you feel, what are your thoughts now, where do we go from here. So you're kind of like my client for many years, hopefully. I mean, because I'm just here for you when you need me. So you came in for a reason. So let's see if we can get rid of this. And then from there, sometimes it opens up different things like, well, no, that doesn't hurt anymore. Or I can sleep now, but now this is happening.
Right.
So that could have always been happening, but the person noticed the lack of sleep more. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
So then it's like, well, now I've got this, you know, this headache. But I guess I've always had it. And then I might even suggest, well, how about a massage? Maybe, you know, we have massage therapists here. Would you, you know, try a massage? We try different things. It's not just all herbs. We might just do some auricular therapy, which is putting ear seeds in the ear. We might do some needleless acupuncture. We might try different things. And they like that because we're not just, you know, I'm not throwing herbs at them all the time. I have other, options. We do sound therapy. We do mindful meditation. You know, we do other things. I have 11 oak trees on my property. I'll walk them outside and say, hug Moses. I name the trees. They hug Moses. You know, we'll do whatever, you know, let's just try stuff. And they enjoy that. They enjoy the thinking outside the box.
Right. Do you work with them on understanding their chakras then?
I do some chakra clearing here. And we talk about chakras, and I have some sound, singing bowls. I do some crystal clear, you know, chakra clearing, using aromatherapy. So we'll talk about it. They always appreciate that. The chakra clearing is really popular here. People really like that.
Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Well, you know, it's an old, you know, ancient method of having chakras within the middle of the body, and you've got 7 major chakras. You have more minor chakras, but we work with the 7 major chakras for starting from the root all the way up to above the head. And there's singing bowls that correspond to every chakra. We can do some sound therapy with that. It's more of an alignment of the body. Sometimes if I think someone's really kind of monkey mind, if you know what I mean by that, mm-hmm. I'll do some chakra clearing first just to kind of get them to not vibrate quite so high. And we'll try and calm them down. And they like the whole effect. Sometimes I use aromatherapy, essential oils, because it smells good and they like the smells. And each, you know, some essential oils work better with different chakras. And
let's talk a little bit about like the root chakra, because you said you had them go hug Moses. And so obviously that is going to ground them and help them reconnect. Mm-hmm. So if you had them hug Moses and then you wanted to use essential oils, what might be an essential oil that you can tell listeners this works for helping ground you?
Well, patchouli is one.
Okay.
That's a good grounding for root chakra. So that's good. You know, they're usually your heavier smelling essential oils would be good for that. And so you just kind of go up the as you go up the chakras, the essential oils get lighter and lighter. Except the heart chakra is usually like a rose, probably a rose, because it's the heart chakra. The third eye could be many things. I mean, there is no tried and true recipe, okay? It could also be just, if it's lavender for the third eye, for instance, and you hated lavender, I'm not going to pull out lavender.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I kind of asked them, because I have a couple of different things. I go, do you like this one or do you like the, oh, I like that one. Okay, we're going to use that one. Because it has to be a pleasant experience. So there is no real tried and true, you know, some people say, oh, this is what you have to use. I don't believe that. I do like to start with a deeper vibrating essential oil like patchouli. Some people don't like patchouli. So I might have to pull out long ylang, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then going up the root, going up the body, I'll go with a lighter, like lemongrass, you know, or geranium, things like that as you go up to the crown chakra.
And what do you typically use for the crown then?
The crown chakra depends on the person. If it's a female, I may end with Mei Chang or rose, depending. And if it's a man, I might do something a little bit different. So it's kind of like I get a sense about things. I might even do frankincense on the top with a man. It just kind of depends. You get a, you know, when you work with essential oils, you kind of get an idea about people, and you just, you know, so I have them sitting in front of me. Mm-hmm. And then what they do is I have them smell it. I don't put it on them.
Right.
So I have them smell it. And then as it gets done with the last chakra, we just do a little prayer type of a thing. And I might have some little, you know, mantra that we might hum. And then we just sit in silence for a little bit. And I might pull out a singing bowl and finish with a singing bowl. And it's a vibrational feeling that they'll get in their body and their ears and their mind. And they pretty much give a big sigh, like they've just experienced a little bit of a, you know, white noise type of effect where they're almost asleep, but they're not asleep. It's a little bit hypnotic. And and they just feel very relaxed and they appreciate it. And once again, I think that starts the healing process, you know, that I think I can get through this problem. And because sometimes they get paralyzed with their own, I don't know what's wrong with me, I must be dying kind of a thing. And, right. You know, so when you can walk them through some of this stuff, and let's be honest, I like to do it. It helps me too. When I put them through a chakra clearing, I'm clearing my chakras along with them.
Right.
So we're doing this together. And
what I have personally, therapy. Yeah, what I was going to say is what I've personally found is that normally if there is stagnation of an energetic level in any of the chakras, because each chakra has to do, as you know, with whether it's the throat being able to speak your piece, whether it's the heart because you've got blockages. It could be literally physical blockages, but it can also be that you've not allowed your heart to open for maybe the trauma that has occurred. So
totally. Yeah. I'll have them. Some people may just burst, you know, have what I call emotional release and just burst into tears. And that's completely normal. And that's fine too. And we work through that. And, you know, nothing surprises me anymore, but you know, it's kind of like, I love to see people grow and make these small changes that build on each other. And, you know, I want these clients for a long, long time. So we become, you know, we heal together, you know?
Well, and I think the fact that you're calling it wellness plans, you know, your focus, the Western medicine is more disease model, right?
Correct.
And so Eastern looks at, like, I love Ayurvedic medicine for that reason, is they look at body types. They look at, you know, the energy that each person has. So when we start treating the whole person, you know, as a mind, body, spirit, you know, that we're mental, physical, emotional, spiritual individuals.
Correct.
Then we're not going to say, okay, we're only going to focus on the physical because that is not going to help. But when you start looking at the whole person and what they've experienced in life, then they can begin to make inroads into becoming well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're right.
Well, that's kind of, I think, what, you know, that's what the show is all about. And that's why I have all of you amazing people on the show is, you know, everybody brings their truth and their experiences into, you know, the Synergy Connection show. And where I come from, you know, is a conglomeration of starting out as a psychotherapist and looking at the mind, but along the way, becoming very focused on health and wellness and all of these different experiences that go into making us unique individuals. And so I just think it's so cool for people to be able to say, I don't have to do the tried and true. I can step outside the box and actually start healing my whole person and not go to a doctor that's an MD. Not that all MDs are going to be this way, but so many of them have been trained only to look at the disease and only to look at the pharmaceutical that can help a little bit with that disease. And
unfortunately.
And COVID-19 is a perfect example to me is, you know, we're looking at obviously a virus, but if the underlying conditions had been met and people didn't have, you know, underlying health conditions that they have never been diagnosed probably, if, you know, we didn't live in a society where obesity is a big problem, if we, you know, so many people are pre-diabetic, they have no idea. They don't know what their immune system is all about at all until they get sick. And some people, you know, get sick a lot, you know, with cold, flu.
And sickness is, you know, can be from stress. It can be from all kinds of things. It can be from a past trauma even. So that's why I like to just stay with the whole, let's get the whole family, you know, the whole history. So it shows them that you care about all parts of them. And so the medicine, if they're taking prescription medicines, I have to take that into consideration. But it's, to me, I want to do, you know, kind of things that are a little different. And Like I have a client that has Lyme and she's on medication for Lyme, but what happens is it gives her a brain, you know, brain fog. And so I've worked on a formula. We've been tweaking it for years and we finally came up with a great one that works just on the fact that she doesn't have a brain fog anymore. I'm not treating Lyme. I'm treating like a symptom of Lyme. Right. You know, so if I can do a small portion of helping her along the way, you know, she says I can function. I can do my job better. I love taking these herbs, but you know, I'm not about to say I've cured her from anything, but if I can help ease some of this dis-ease, then, you know, that I feel like, you know, that's part of my, you know, holistic approach.
What about somebody that maybe has the beginnings, not advanced, but maybe the beginnings of some dementia or Alzheimer's? You know, they know that there's something that's not quite the way it should be. Are there some herbs that can help maybe turn that around a little bit?
Yeah, there's some herbs. I mean, a big one is an Ayurvedic herb, actually. It's bacopa. That's good for memory. There would be, I'd probably get a little formula together with three or four different things that actually work well and then give them a blend. I don't like doing what I call singles, where you would just use one herb. But, you know, for you know, bacopa would be something that would help for memory. There's some, but that would, you know, I mean, everybody's a little different too. So you have to try these things and it's kind of tricky. But if they're just starting, or not even just starting, just realizing that when I'm, you know, 50, maybe I'm going to start to forget a few things. Like when you walk into the room and you thought, what was I coming in here for? And you have to walk back out of the room to remember it again. That's when I would start taking some of these memory herbs. But, you know, it's something that helps a lot of people, but it's still hard to actually measure that, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. I'm sure that's true. I'm just thinking, you know, that along with learning to do, I don't know, Sudoku or any of those other like memory challenging kind of activities, that taking something like an herb that promotes better, I don't even know the word I want to use here, but, you know, just better memory function.
And even like mushrooms, you know, anything that brings oxygen to the body. I mean, you know, it's kind of like they still even haven't figured out how about dementia so much. So it's kind of like, you throw some things at it, like I said, and it's not going to hurt you. It's not like a drug. So why not give it a try?
So in reality, things that are going to promote better circulation, through food, you know, like the Ayurvedic, I think they use a lot of cayenne peppers and things like that.
And ginkgo is good for like attention, you know, right. Do you want to focus their attention? Because would that give you better memory retention if you stay focused? Because, you know, if you're just daydreaming about something, it's not that you are forgetful, but you just never really focused in it to begin with, you know, it never caught to begin with. So I would throw some of, you know, some attention focus type herbs in there, possibly passion flower, St. John's wort, you know, ginkgo is great. You know, things like that. Or are they just bouncing around too much in their minds that they can't really focus to think? Maybe some calming herbs, you know, those are the things that I have to know more about you to formulate for you. And so if I can keep you calm, will you remember? If I can keep you focused, will you remember? I mean, is it really dementia? Is it, you know what I'm saying? So we got to kind of figure that part out.
Right. It's like the monkey brain that we talked
about. Yeah, the monkey brain. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Because if you've got that going, then you're going to be going in about 50 directions.
Yeah. You're just going to forget faster or something. But so, I mean, I would take all of that into consideration and come up with a formula. And I typically say, look, if this works for you, I wouldn't even give it to your sister. I mean, it's just for you. I don't make formulas in general. I mean, I don't have like, oh, here's the insomnia formula, or here's, you know, because everyone is different.
Right.
And so we custom formulate. I just tell them, look, I don't care if you have a, you know, a twin sister, what works for you may not work for her. So don't give this to anybody else. It's just for you. Where the Western, you know, allopathic medicine, they make drugs for most people that work most of the time. But I would like to try and find something that worked specifically for them and during that time that they needed. And then when that subsides, maybe switch to another formula.
Right.
That's more appropriate for whatever's going on in their life. And then that's customized for that. And so you're never...
So one of the things that I want to, you know, as we're coming to a close here, one of the things that I actually, you know, want people to understand as they're listening to this is COVID-19 is not going away anytime soon. It doesn't appear, because the cases are beginning to increase again all over the world, not just here in the United States and not here just in Florida. So, you know, we have that going on. So stress levels are going to be higher as a result, because people are becoming more fearful again. And of course, anything that we fear increases, you know, the stress hormone, cortisol, and cortisol is going to dampen your immune system. So if somebody were to come in to see you at this particular point, I would guess that you would not only do a screening for, you know, how stressed they are financially, or, you know, maybe loved ones that they haven't been able to see, or, you know, friends that they can't be with now. So you're going to have to reduce their stress level along with improving their immune system. Do you think your meeting time with them is going to increase because people are going to come with more baggage?
Yeah, I do. They're the people I see now are pretty stressed.
Yeah, I would think.
And you know, they're even though they think that they're handling COVID pretty good, they may not even know anybody that's got COVID, but it slowly works on you. It's mm-hmm. it's kind of a you know, just slowly starts to get into your body and your cells and the whole nine yards. So yeah, I'm a big one for like taking some, you know, baths, you know, Epsom salt baths, maybe putting some essential oils in the bath, light a few candles. I talk to them about the importance of deep breathing, making sure that they breathe deeply. Don't eat too late at night. Drink plenty of water. Stay hydrated. You know, be physically active if they can. You know, I just try and just say, these are some things I know you know, but let's go over them again just to remind ourselves.
Right.
You know, and the beauty is I say, look, I'm in the same boat you are. We're all doing the same thing. So let's talk about what can we do. And that's, again, where I say, where do you find your joy? Mm-hmm. What can you do to give you joy? And if they can come up and they said, let's start a new, how about a new hobby? Maybe we'll get it. Maybe let's try a new hobby. Can we, you know, let's work on that.
Right.
And, you know, what did you think, you know, in all things perfect, what would you like to do? Well, I always wanted to write, or I wanted to journal, or I want, okay, let's think about that. And, you know, so I just try and give them ideas, but then again, just reconfirm, you know, good night's sleep is good. Maybe get to bed early, you know, try not to drink too much. Just different ideas,
right.
Things we can do. And they usually, we come up with some kind of, you know, great stuff, especially when I ask, where do you find your joy?
Right. Yeah. I think
we come up with some good stuff.
That's a great way for us to end today too, is everybody out there, try to look around and see what makes you truly happy internally as well as externally, because that finding your joy is kind of where it's at these days. And people, it's going to be baking, and other people it might be music, and other people it might be drawing or writing. So,
right.
Well, listen, I appreciate you being on the show.
It's been wonderful, Lucy. It was great.
And remind everybody again one more time as to where they can find you.
I'm at Six Oaks Wellness Apothecary, Largo, Florida. You can call me at 727-501-1700, or they can go visit my website at www.sixoakswellness.com.
All right. I truly appreciate you being a guest with me today. And we will connect for a future show. And
great.
So I will let everybody understand that if they missed, you know, listening to this particular show, you can always find it on synergyconnectionradio.com. Thanks so much for being my guest again, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Great. Thank you, Lucy. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.